T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. All right, Bill O'Reilly does it again. I believe this is the 9th in the Killing series. Killing Crazy Horse. This is much different, though, if you're a fan of the books, and who isn't, a gazillion out there. The length of time of this book is critical. Let's go to Bill O'Reilly on this Monday on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Bill, welcome back.
Thanks for having me in, Dom. Appreciate it.
Well, the length of time of this, usually it's a much compressed period, and you drill down almost second by second. Kennedy assassination, killing of Lincoln. You know, it's a period of months, things of that nature. Why this period for this book? This is the entire chapter of the Old West and post-Old West, even.
So it's 1813 to about 1890. And the reason that Martin Dubuque and I Native American tribes that were in unique circumstances. It was different than the Civil War, the Revolutionary War, World War II, where there was one goal, there were two battle-hardened sides. Here, you had so many different situations and so many colossal historical figures that we decided to put them all together to give the reader of their country. This is how your country was forged from Philadelphia to Los Angeles. And this is what happened in this period of time, because it did take that long for all of the United States to be developed. And, you know, you go in, you go out, you go here, you go there. It's a great lesson on this magnificent country and how it was forged.
Well, absolutely. And as I tell you, the mark of your books to me is, if I know a lot about that, like Kennedy, and I thought I knew a voracious amount about that, and I learned some things along the way, and I go, wow, I never knew that. James Monroe comes up here as a major figure, and Polk. And both are in the same way. One manifest destiny, the other the sea to shining sea. In other words, it's our destiny that we go to California, that we take over this land. We have to do it. We must do it. It's from God.
Yes, but there was more. There was a realistic element to it. There's always a difference between the politician's rhetoric and what they really want, and we see that today. So if you're listening to Biden or Trump, they're telling you one thing, but what they really want is something else. So Monroe is the guy who was in charge when the real S hit the fan. And he knew that he, the United States, and his administration had to forge west of the Mississippi River. They had to, because European nations like Spain and Great Britain and France were eyeing territory out in the west to take it for themselves. And Monroe said, no, we have to go Atlantic to Pacific, and it's all going to be the United States. But in order to do that, we got to get people out there. And in order to get people out there, you're running into the tribal nations who had inhabited the land for thousands of years. And that's where the conflict really takes off. The conflict begins in Florida, with the Creek Nation, which was a powerful Indian concern. And they decided, we're enough of this. We're tired of people coming into southern Georgia, southern Alabama, northern Florida, and taking our land and decimating our animals because we need them to live. So we're going to attack Fort Mims and wipe everybody out, which they did. And then Andrew Jackson was summoned to put the Creeks down. That started it. But the real intensity began when the settlers, millions of them, were pushed west of the Mississippi River into the Indian lands, which were promised by the government. We'll leave you alone. Here's where you live. And the government broke their promise, and the Indians said enough. And that's how the carnage unfolded.
It is magnificent how you and your the historian who is your co-writer on this bill, the researcher at least, talk about Custer in a balanced way, how big that group was that he took on that original tour for gold, and how the gold was going to become the staple. Grant and others were counting on this for the national economy. So it's stunning, the entourage with Custer.
Well, that is the most important Indian white man confrontation, the Little Bighorn, because that changed everything to the detriment of Native Americans. Before then, there wasn't an extermination policy, but after that, there was. So we're gonna track them down, and that's it. All right. So, but it wasn't the Native Americans' fault because they were granted the Black Hills, and this is in the Dakotas. That is their ancestral grounds, and they were granted that land by Washington, by U.S. Grant. And then, as soon as gold was discovered, U.S. Grant said, "We need this gold because our economy is going south. We got to get it back to Washington, and so we're going to violate the treaty." And then Crazy Horse and the Sioux Nation rises up. They beat the U.S. Army 4, 5, 6 battles. And Grant goes, "We got to get Custer out there. He's crazy and a hero of the Civil War in Gettysburg." Custer trots out in a suede jacket and red cravat, long flowing blonde hair, and thinks he's going to kick the butt of Crazy Horse. Well, it didn't turn out quite that way. But we took all of the reporting about that from the Indian side, because after the Battle of Little Bighorn, there were no whites to tell what happened. They're all dead.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Oral history, oral history of the Sioux was passed down. It was eventually written down, and that's where Dugard and I went. And the battle is just unbelievable. I mean, this is why the Killing series, in my opinion, has been the most successful nonfiction book series of all time. 17 million copies of my books in print all over the world, because we take you inside that battle. We put you on that battlefield. And I don't think anybody's ever done that before.
No, it's stuff that's right there in front of our eyes that you and Dugard have an eye for. You have an eye, an instinct. As I told you, with the very first book with Lincoln, or the controversy with Reagan, it was there. But and you're a contrarian. You know, people would think George Will, for example, well, why would O'Reilly go after Reagan? I don't think you were going after Reagan in the Killing book. I just thought you saw something there that history hadn't talked about, at least by somebody who might be fair and balanced towards someone like Ronald Reagan, kind of like with the Trump book. The insight there, maybe some of those people didn't like part of it, but it's balanced. And the Native American group so far seem to be liking this Killing book, because I saw some media coverage on it.
Yes, we haven't had any dissenters because it's all true. And so is the Reagan book. But that didn't stop George Will from attacking me, which is very relevant to today, because Ronald Reagan, after he was shot and almost killed, had a cognitive decline. And it was real. And the government kept it quiet, but had to deal with it. But Ronald Reagan made an amazing comeback. And we chronicle that. And right now you got Joe Biden, obviously in cognitive decline. There's no doubt he is. Well, on September 29th, with this debate with Trump, which is going to really be the linchpin of the election, all right, can Biden come back from, an amazing amount of verbal befuddlement? I mean, that thing in Michigan last week,
yeah.
Dom, that was frightening. So, you know, we tell the truth. And in this day and age, when America is being demonized, being propagandized, we're an evil country, white supremacist country, everything about it is bad, we got to tear down the statues, we got to insult our founding fathers. Americans who don't believe that need to be armed with facts. But it's my job to tell you the truth. So some of the facts in Killing Crazy Horse are disturbing, but others are noble. So I want people to understand what their country really is. And I think we have done that in all the Killing books.
That's exactly it. And that's what's missing today, Bill. And again, the left runs away from any kind of metric. Where is the systemic racism today? What's the metric for judging that? And Joe Biden certainly not going to answer. I wanted to talk with you, though, about Bob Woodward. I've interviewed him three or four times. I liked him. I think he was the better in the Watergate stuff. But why would President Trump, and you've written the psychology of Trump, do 18 different phone calls / interviews with him? What do you think?
Well, you know, this is personal because when I was on Air Force One, January 2019, after the interview that the president gave me about the United States of Trump, we had about a half an hour just to kick it around. And he said, you know, Bob Woodward's writing a book on me. And I said, his first book kind of hammered you. And he goes, yeah, but now I'm going to cooperate and I'm going to give him a bunch of interviews. And I said to him, that's a mistake. I said, there's no way on this earth that Bob Woodward is going to write a book on you that's going to be favorable. And then the president said to me, yes, but I want my side out. And I said, you're the president. You tweet every hour on the hour. Your side
exactly.
is out. You don't need it through a Woodward prism. And he didn't, as he often does, take my advice. He didn't take it. But I know this industry better than anyone. Bob Woodward I like. And I've interviewed him many, many times. And I think he's essentially an honest man. But when he went to Simon & Schuster with his book proposal, that book proposal said, I'm going to take a hard look at the Trump administration, not I'm going to give a fair and balanced approach to it. All right, Simon & Schuster paid him $10 million or more because they knew that the book was not going to be kind to President Trump. Why? Because that's the audience. That's the people that read
exactly.
Bob Woodward in the Washington Post. If Woodward goes against his audience, he doesn't sell as many books. Now, explain that to Donald Trump, who should know it anyway because he's written books. But he wanted to do it, and he did it, and he got hammered. He got hammered. Although I don't think it's a long-term damage thing. I think the debate is going to override all of this stuff.
Parting question. I agree with you certainly on that. I think this is the worst nightmare for Joe Biden because Chris Wallace, in his own way, well, it would be worse if it's Bill O'Reilly. It's going to be fair and balanced, and both sides are going to come out punch drunk after that. But Wallace is not going to be throwing puffballs to either side. He's got his own reputation on the line. Trump is used to that. For better or for worse, sometimes he handles it well. Joe Biden hasn't had that in forever, right? How can he withstand that?
Here's the problem with the debate. You're absolutely right. It's a legacy play for Chris Wallace, who has to live up to his father's tremendous standard. I think Mike Wallace was the best broadcast journalist in history. So Wallace is not going to favor Trump or Biden. He isn't. All right? And he's going to ask relatively difficult questions of both. That will happen. The problem is Biden will not answer them. So what does Wallace do? Is he rude? Does he cut in? Does he cut off? Remember, they have a certain amount of time to answer uninterrupted, Dom.
Yes.
Biden's not going to answer, even when you follow up and say, well, with all due respect, Mr. Vice President, you didn't answer. He won't answer the second time. So I'm going to tell you, have me on right before the debate. I'm going to tell you how to do it, all right? How, if you're Biden or Trump on the stage, mm-hmm. how you do it to win the debate. Now, I don't know if Donald Trump's disciplined enough. and I will make this public, not only in your program, but on my No Spin News on BillO'Reilly.com. We'll talk about it a week before this starts, which would be next week. I will lay out exactly what Trump has to do and what Biden has to do. I don't know whether Biden can answer questions cogently. I don't know.
I don't think he can. The one I'm dying to, and Trump has to ask, the fancy term, and I know Bill O'Reilly wouldn't allow the fancy term, systemic racism gets thrown on, and you've written about this all over the place. Ask him again and again and again, is America currently a racist country? Are we a racist country, yes or no? Keep on going back. Systemic, I think, is over the mind of a lot of people. If the American people hear Joe Biden say, yes, America is a racist country, anything like that, Bill, I don't think that will be accepted.
You're right on the mark, but the question has to be asked in a different way. Because once you say systemic racism, then they'll wander. Trump said yes. Trump was asked that by Woodward.
Right.
And Trump said yes, there is systemic racism in our society, which is true, there is. But it doesn't rise to the majority, and it doesn't affect the ability of African Americans, if they do what is necessary, it doesn't affect them in whether they can succeed or not. But politicians can run circles on that. You got to zero into a much more specific thing, and that's what I'll be talking about. But the same thing applies to killing Crazy Horse. You can say, well, systemic racism and extermination policies against Native Americans. That's not really true. There was a tremendous element of self-protection in the demise of Native Americans, which we write about. I can't be more vivid in telling you what the Comanches and Apaches did to people.
Yeah.
Other Native Americans, too, not just whites. So there was a tremendous element of self-protection involved, which blows up the theory that America wanted to go and exterminate the indigenous peoples. So, you know, this is what I do. I try to bring clarity to very complex situations. We are not a racist country. That is a lie that Black Lives Matter, Global Foundation, and the media are fostering, especially on younger people. LeBron James is a disgrace. What he did over the weekend with Colin Kaepernick is just incomprehensible. I'm going to deal with that tonight on the No Spin News.
All right.
This is got to stop.
Absolutely. The book, Killing Crazy Horse, and we have you Wednesday night, the full barrel of O'Reilly by then, for our speaker series. Bill, congratulations again, and thanks for all the time today.
All right, Dom, anytime. Always like talking to you.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.